Tom, do you like big boats?
I do like big boats.
Can you lie?
Not under oath.
Well, I'll tell you what the truth is. We are the Bitter End Podcast with me, Todd Jordan.
And you know my name. You know how I make my living.
How is that exactly?
It's not doing podcasting. And I'm Tom Denny, by the way.
On that subject of names already, I would like to point out, guys, Roy Schneider is apparently called Roy Scheider.
Yeah, we goofed on the first episode saying that he maybe is Rob Schneider's dad. I would say maybe he still is. I still haven't Googled it, so I still don't know.
The perfect cover. He's always going to be Roy Schneider to me.
Yeah, damn right. I mean, it's a new season of The Bitter End. We need to call somebody their name wrong. So might as well be Rob Schneider's dad.
Well, thanks for joining me, Tony. And we have sat down today to watch the trailer for Jaws 2, the second film of the
Jaws franchise.
Unstoppable behemoth of the Jaws franchise, the franchise that took over the world, the franchise that everybody loves and apparently everybody has seen but me.
Yeah, so here we go. 1978, Jaws.
When was Jaws 1?
75.
75, bloody hell.
Yeah, so who's not there this time round? Mr. Spielberg. He's backed out. So I'm going to say that this film was directed by Gino Swack.
How are you spelling Swack?
Swack! S-Z-W-A-R-C. So you give it your best go.
Swack!
Yeah. You know Swack.
I'm guessing that's maybe like a French-Belgian name or something?
I think it might be French. Anyway, he's notable for having directed Santa Claus the Movie.
I love that movie!
With Dudley Moore and John Lithgow. And he also directed the Supergirl movie, which I understand is a hot mess.
Ooh.
I've seen the Santa Claus movie. I'm about that. So I'm excited about this. And we've watched the trailer.
It looks like a snuff movie.
Oh my god, it looks like, when we said that like the first one looked like it's like a fish slasher film, this one is like a fish slasher film. It looks really dark. It's got the proper good like creepy voiceover, like the, you know, like, in all of the ocean, did you really think there could only be one?
What, one as Highlander?
Yes, one immortal shark. You know, to say like, oh, well, of course we're doing a Jaws sequel because, like, there's more than one fish. And it's kind of like, yeah, okay, cool. No doy. We didn't think that there was only one shark. But anyway, cool. We see what you're going with. You're just going to murder people. And they really undercut it by having people in the trailer say some really dumb fucking lines.
Oh, my God. There are so many amazing quotes in this trailer, guys. I mean, I'm assuming they're going to be in the film later. I hope so. I've written down three of them. Tom, I reckon we can take it in turns.
Yeah.
The first one from just really sort of jumped out to me is somebody goes, look at that. That's a shark.
Well, you know who was saying that? The mayor. The mayor from the first film, who's a total dickhead. He's back and he's brought his keen sense of observation with him.
That's a shark.
Look at that. That's a shark.
Well done, you. Yeah. Just learning animals now. That's a horse.
Which is then followed up by a zinger from Chief Brody, played by Rob Schneider's dad. What's he say? Like, what is the line? It's like, I know what a shark looks like because I've seen one.
Yeah, I know what a shark looks like because I've seen one before. I really hope that is it. Like, if you put those two quotes next to each other, it's just like two toddlers both trying to do like really bad boasts to each other.
Look at this. That's a shark. And I know what a shark looks like because I've seen one up close.
Yeah, I know it's a shark. I've seen a shark before.
Yeah, ooh, bragging.
Yeah, my dad's a shark.
Yeah, right, exactly. That was so funny. And then the other quote I liked is from evil trailer voiceover guy who says, none of man's fantasies of evil can compare with the evil of Jaws. Which is the first time that I've actually heard anybody in directly related to the films call the shark by the name Jaws.
Yeah, I like that.
It's definitely not its name. Sharks don't have names. And B, it's a different shark from the first film.
Yeah.
So if this shark is called Jaws, why was the first film called Jaws if it had a different shark in it?
This is Jaws Jr., I guess. So obviously, like, Spielberg didn't come back. I found some like quotes from Spielberg as to why he didn't do it. Making a sequel to anything is just a cheap carny trick. Whoa, you might want to rein that back in when you start doing like Indiana Jones and all that kind of shit. But then he also kind of winds it back in himself by later saying, I would have done the sequel if I hadn't had such a horrible time at sea on the first film.
Much better.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, fair enough.
All right, pukey Spielberg puked his guts out. Yeah, tried to blame it on the carnies.
Right, so we should go and see what Mr. Swack has got in store for us. But first, Todd, we just have to play a quick game of the IMDb guessing game.
I'm here. I'm here for it.
So, as you all know, 1975's Jaws, directed by Senior Spielberg, got a lean, mean, powerful 8 from the good users of IMDb.
8 on the nose.
So what do you think that Mr. Swack's opus from 78 gets?
I reckon it's still going to be like weirdly high for a part 2.
Okay.
6.8.
Ooh! I see how you could think that from the trailer, because the trailer was tight.
I know.
It's a 5.7.
Oh dear.
That's quite a drop.
Is this film going to be dead in the water?
I don't know. Well, Todd, as we've said many times before...
Dead in the water, Tom!
I get it. I'm sorry. I'm just bulldozing you here. But I just have to point out that we've watched a lot of films around a 5.7 and had a right old time. So we may not be dead in the water. We may be some other aquatic-based bit of wordplay that I cannot think of.
Surf's up!
Just when you thought it was safe to go back in the franchise, is a real bad fish.
Bad fish.
That was a bad fish.
Man. Okay, so straight away, I'm going to lay my cards on the table. Liked Jaws 2. I enjoyed Jaws 2. It's not perfect.
It's not perfect, but Jaws 2 has some bits, some real bits to love.
Oh my God, a heck of a lot more fun than the first one.
Yeah, I mean, it's still got some meandering things that don't make any sense, or, you know, not don't make any sense. You're just kind of like, did we need to leave this in? But the bits with the bad fish.
The bad fish.
Are just, oh, yeah.
Now, I definitely want to say something about this. The correct and popular opinion that everybody has, that every time anybody talks about Jaws, right?
Yeah.
The conversation will go something like this. Now, of course, you know that they originally were meant to show the shark a lot more, but supposedly they had some problems with it. But it ends up making the film much more effective because it's all about the fear of what you can't see, right?
Yeah.
Doesn't that make the film so much more effective?
Oh, yeah.
Fuck that, right? Because you see a fuckload of the fish in this one, a fuckload of that bad, bad fish, and it is so much more interesting.
Well, I think the reason that, like, this fish is so much more interesting than the bad, bad fish in the first one that you don't see is because when you do see this one, it pops out of the water and has, like, a giant disfigured burnt face, like it's Two-Face out of Batman, but it's a fucking fish. It's like, you know, like, in, like, just, like, anything's like, how do we make the bad guy appear to be a bad guy? Got it. What we do, we give him a scar that runs all the way down his face over his eye, and that way you know that he is bad. And they've done that with this fish.
Right.
And it's fucking amazing.
They've made him Fishy Krueger.
Yes. And we'll get to how he gets horribly disfigured in a bit. Because that's fucking amazing. Anyway, yeah, so look, right. So the trailer promised that this was going to be very slashery. It was like just going full horror, Jason Voorhees in the water vibes. And the beginning of the film, kind of, it gives you that. Because it starts all under the water. We've got these scuba divers. We've got like a really good score that's full of dread and suspense. And these two scuba divers, they've gone and found the Orca, which is the name of the boat that could have been bigger from Jaws 1. And they've gone and find it so they can be like, take some photos by the boat and be like, yeah, we found the boat where that shark got killed. What do I think of sharks? They're dickheads, wankers, fucking sharks. Oh, fuck, it's a shark.
This is a repeat, basically, of the opening scene from Jason Lives, from Friday the 13th 6, I think, where like those guys go to get Jason Voorhees' grave to be like, yeah, we've got to go piss on it. And then he comes back to life.
Oh, yeah.
He's like, oh, shit, no. Because, yeah, Bad Fish turns up.
Bad Fish.
And then while it's like killing them, which we don't really get to see, just the camera kind of shakes around and people go, oh, no, it's eating me. Oh, no. They're like flash underwater camera, like sets off loads of photos and we just get these kind of stroboscopic like effects of them.
And you know, like, oh, that's captured what's going on and someone's gonna find that later and gonna have to deal with some uncomfortable truths. And then we just cut to the opening of a new luxury resort hotel on the island of Amity, and Sheriff Brody is running late. He shows up. He's gotten in so incredibly suntanned between the first film and this tan. Like, he just looks like a fucking leather handbag. And he shows up and
he's meeting his wife, who seems to work for the guy that owns the new resort or something.
Yeah, and he's like a big dog on the board of selectmen with the dickhead mayor from the first film, and that this scene just kind of it goes on and it just basically to introduce us to, like, you know what there is in this? There's a lot of teenagers in this. And you kind of get like, oh, okay, cool, we're getting the slasher vibes, we're gonna introduce all these teenagers, they're all gonna die. Yeah,
nah,
no, they
not
don't
really,
not really. And I mean, you've got like this jockey kind of guy who, I don't know what his name is, but he'd be called Moose, you know, like he's kind of like the big chunky guy. You've got a couple of guys who are definitely incels.
Yeah, they just spend the whole time in the sidelines, like staring uncomfortably at the girls. And like one of them reckons he's got a shot with the girl that's just been crowned Miss Amity Island, who also has a boyfriend, who also is incredibly handsome, and they are both in love. And he's like this like terrible, like little pale nerdy guy in the corner, and he's like, mm, I hate them so much, why won't she fuck me?
Oh yeah, uncomfortable. And Brody's son is in, like, with his eldest son is in with these guys. Brody's son cannot act his way out of a paper bag, but you know, cool, all right. So we're going to move on from this scene where we've introduced all these teenagers, and then we're going to cut to a scene on the docks, like on the jetty, where we're going to be reintroduced to all of these teenagers. We're going to just be introduced to the fact that they're all the same as they were in the last scene. They're all the same horrible personalities, but they have boats.
They've got boats, baby.
Boats, and then 7 minutes go by, and then we go to the next scene, and you're like, what else did I get from that other than they have boats? It's
a very important plot point, Tom. If they didn't have the boats, the rest of the film would be very confusing.
I know, but it feels like they lived on an island. I feel that we could have introduced the fact they had boats a little bit snappier. This film...
Show, don't tell.
Is not as long as the first one, but still feels pretty fucking long.
Yeah. And the next scene that they cut to is where the proverbial fish shit starts to hit the big fan.
So
we've got some people kind of water skiing on, like, it's like water snowboarding.
Before that, there's people doing this weird water parasailing bungee jumping.
Yeah.
Where it's like some guy, like, on a sort of parachute thing, kind of just dipping his dick into the water, and it's a tease. It's kind of like, oh, shark's going to go and bite this guy in the peen. Doesn't bite the guy
just
in the peen.
Just teabagging the ocean.
Yeah, and he's like, right, we're going to move on to these people who are water skiing. Yes.
Yeah, but it's like water snowboarding. It's just like on one plank.
That's when you know you're a badass, when you've only got the one.
Yeah.
That, or you haven't got enough money to rent the whole set. I'm not sure. It's either really cool or really frugal.
I'm not a very outdoorsy guy, but my God, this looks boring. Like, the activity of doing this. She's just, like, holding onto a rope, being dragged along, and she's just kind of looking around as if to go, is something else supposed to happen?
Yeah, she's like, wee, 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 and then, dun, 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 and this point, you know, me and Todd are like, yeah, okay, cool, it's going to be kill number two, we're in for this. Dun, 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 dun. Chomps the water skier.
Yeah.
Which is kind of, you're like, okay, cool. I mean, we all thought that was going to happen. It's kind of cool. but the what happens is, yeah.
What happens is her mum was driving the boat and she's like, where's my daughter gone? Turns around looking, looks for her water. Oh no, there's a big bad fish there. Jaws the shark is back from the dead, apparently. I can only assume it's the exact same shark, also called Jaws. The big bad fish like smashes up against the boat. And the mum goes like, oh my God, she's really scared. She picks up a canister of gasoline and just goes, whoa, whoops, and spills it all over herself.
You kind of get feel like she's going to like sort of like bludgeon it with this big heavy canister, but it just looks like she just picks it up and completely on purpose just douses herself in petrol. She's like, fuck, this thing's gonna kill me, better kill myself before it gets me. So then the shark is like, nom 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 nom, you smell delicious now. And then she just picks up a flare gun.
Yeah, flare gun to try and shoot at the shark, but then ignites the petrol.
Shoots the shark in the face.
She exploded her own butt. There's a big shot of her butt on fire. She exploded the boat because that is on fire. And then she exploded the shark, and this is how it gets fishy Krugered up, man.
Yeah, it's got like this burning face. It's like, and we're just like, oh no, this is sick.
This is sick, Tom.
That is really, yeah, I'm totally on board with that scene. I was like, Jaws 2, you have me.
Yes.
You have me.
And then Roy Scheider, he is still the chief. He's apparently not scared of water anymore. He's like, all these people have disappeared. He doesn't know it's a shark, but he has them dredge the water. Yeah. And there's this really like moany, reluctant old fisherman who for some reason is he's a fisherman, right? He looks like the sea captain from The Simpsons. He's dressed like the sea captain from The Simpsons. He owns a boat. He owns dredging gear. And as soon as he's made to go out and dredge the sea, he literally says, I'm cold and bored. You're bored, are you, mate?
This is your life's work. And they go out, do a bit of dredging, and they dredge up Chekhov's power line. Bloody great big power lines. Like, oh my God, that's a power line. Put that back in the water. We need that for the third act. It's like, oh, okay, cool. Well, we'll forget about that, I guess. And then what washes up on the beach. Oh, this is awesome. You've got, like, there's these two teens. Like, there's loads of teens, and they're all... You know, we've got Moose, we've got the incels, we've got this one girl who's introduced as the new girl in town, who everyone is like, dang, did you see that new girl? And she's just this person she has nothing to do with the story whatsoever, has no impact on the plot, but later just cries an awful lot. I think she was hired for her crying prowess. So she shows up, and then we've also got this couple who are basically trying to bone down the whole time. And they're on the beach and they stumble across a fucking mutilated killer whale.
This is so sick. It's had its face bitten off by Jaws the shark.
Jaws the shark is taking no prisoners on this one.
Bad fish, mate.
Bad fish, bad slashery fish. And so, like, Brody is really freaking out now. He's kind of like, he's talking to the local... I don't know, fish coroner.
She's like, there's no way it's a shark. There's no way it's a shark.
And then she's like, oh, well, it might be a shark. The thing that I think is really interesting with her is that she's kind of like, Brody's like, we need to check if this is a great white shark. I've dealt with great white sharks before. And she says, really? Have you? It's like, that has to be the only story of interest in all of Amity history. Like, oh, remember that time when like a giant great white shark terrorized the beach and Sheriff Brody had to go out on a boat and fucking shot it and it exploded? How does she not know? That's her business. She's in the business of fish. Like, what?
There's no business like fish business, mate.
She's not in bad fish business. She's like, now normally I just deal in good fish, so I can't really tell what the bite radius is on this.
Finding Nemo, that was my work.
Yeah,
and so like Brody even kind of postulates this idea.
Oh, this is amazing.
That maybe a shark has come back to like wreak revenge on the island.
Yeah, she's like, I know that dolphins can communicate. You don't think that when one shark gets destroyed, other sharks know about it. It's like, if you're even trying to suggest that this shark has come back for revenge, then you, sir, are a fucking idiot. The fourth film in this franchise is called Jaws the Revenge.
The exact line from her is, sharks don't take things personally. How would you know?
yeah. And I mean, it does seem in this film like the way it's filmed is like the shark is stalking Brody. And there's all these points where he gets woken up in the middle of the night by the phone ringing. And every time I expect it to just be the shark going like, sleeping well, Brody? Nom, 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 nom. I ate another teenager. My face is all burnt.
Do you like fishier movies?
Yeah, it's like that. So yes, fishes definitely do seek revenge. They do take things personally.
And honestly, the vibe is just so much more fun than the first one at this point.
Yeah, and this whole thing of like the shark seeking revenge on Brody comes home even more when he's driving along the beach and they still haven't found, they know that this boat blew up, but they haven't found any bodies. And he's driving along and he sees a bit of timber floating in the sea, and he kind of like walks up to the sea like he's gonna like reach in and get it. It's fucking meters away, and he's like, whoa, the wave comes up. He's like, oh no, there's water here. Okay, I'll take my shoes off. And he wades in to go and get the to go and get this bit of wood out, and they kind of film it like the shark is watching, and they have a little dun-dun, dun-dun, and like it really does seem like the shark is like, go on, come on, come on, I've tracked you down, you killed my dad. And then the twist is that he like flips over this piece of wood and a fucking corpse comes out, this like burnt corpse of the lady whose butt got exploded. And it's just like, yes, this film is delivering on like the sharky kill stuff. Like the human stuff, there's far too many teenagers whose names I don't know and I don't care about, and not enough of them die. But all the sharky business, I'm down.
Monsieur Zwark, director of this picture.
You've been zwarked, son.
You done got zwarked by sharked.
Yeah.
Is that because what zwark rhymes with shark, so that's why he got the gig?
I can only assume that's how Hollywood in the 70s worked. There was a lot of cocaine being done, I guess. And then we go from this thing of like Brody finding a corpse in the water to then him getting cyanide.
Yeah.
And cyanide tipping the ends of his bullets. And it's like, oh shit, he's been hanging out with like those incel guys and is planning like some sort of like mass public shooting or something. This is dark.
It's really, really dark. He coats the tips of his bullets in cyanide and then seals them with candle wax. And at this point I was like, it's a shark, not a werewolf, mate. Like, you're going to extreme measures here.
And the thing I love about it is that just like, not only is like Brody like, well, better tip my bullets with cyanide, he's also like, just had the cyanide lying around. Like, it's like, finally, something to do with my cyanide. The other thing is that cyanide-tipped bullets do not play into the finale of this film in any fucking way. Oh, so it's a completely arbitrary thing for him to do. The only thing that it stands to do is make him seem even more insane when, like, now Brody is on high alert, he's hanging out on the beach. The beaches are full, like in the first film, except this time they don't have the jaunty music. They actually have some quite sinister music.
It's good.
And Brody's wife's boss, the guy who like developed the hotel and the evil mayor, they're showing prospective developers round, and they're all like, who's that man up in the watchtower? That's making me really uncomfortable. And they're kind of like, oh, like, he's basically being like a lifeguard. He's like keeping an eye out for things going wrong. And everyone's like, this is fucked up. You're going to just let this policeman just like watch people, like keep an eye on them and make sure they're safe. Fortunately, Brody proves everyone right by going completely batshit crazy and trying to kill the sea. And he sees like a dark shadow at the sea and he's like, everybody out! Everybody's ringing this bell. And then he's running across the beach with a gun in his hand,
waving it around, yeah, surrounded by children. And he points it at a little boy that is in the sea.
And so the only thing like that cyanide-tipped bullet scene does is just make you feel like, oh my god, this scene is so much more dangerous than it is already, because he's got cyanide-tipped bullets and he's got two hands and he could wave for people to get out of his way with the hand with no gun with cyanide-tipped bullets, or he could wave at people wildly with a cocked, loaded gun with cyanide-tipped bullets.
It's so fucked up. And he just goes completely falling down. He like unloads his bullets into the sea. Kill the sea, kill the sea, kill the sea, I want it dead. And then it's just some small fish. It's not a big bad fish, it's some small good ones. And oh, does he have egg on his face?
He's got serious egg on his face. But then the next thing that happens, the thing that, like, he's feeling like, I've really fucked up here. I've really kind of like, you know what, I shouldn't, he's sat there with his wife, he's like, you know what I shouldn't have done? I really shouldn't have fired cyanide tip bullets into the sea in front of, like, all those people. That was a dumb move. And then one of the cops like, oh, by the way, we dredged the sea and we found the camera from those missing divers. Do you want to go and see the guy who develops the photo? Or the guy's like, I'm developing the photos. Come quick. And he comes around. He's like, I've developed one of the photos. Do you want to watch me develop all the rest of them in real time?
Tough, you can't have an answer because that's what's going to fucking happen. And then we sit there and we watch this photo develop in real time.
And it is ponderous.
It is ponderous. I understand that people that like photography, and I like photographs. I've never been in a darkroom before. I ain't never going in after seeing this. Man, it is like doing the washing up, but slower.
It's really boring. And the thing about this scene is like, you know, what they're driving at is like, it's going to be that slow reveal of the image of the shark coming through in the paper and Brody realizing like all his worst fears are true. It's like, it is a shark. But I don't know, they just play it so wrong. Like, it feels like it needs a bit of score or something, but it's literally a man staring at a blank piece of paper in silence as as a very out of focus picture slowly emerges that when he goes and shows it to the town selectmen, they do not believe it is a shark.
Yeah, and neither do I from having seen it. But he's like, that's the one. That's the shark. I know what a shark is. I've read about them in books.
Yeah, and this was one of those scenes where, like, we're kind of like rattling through like all the best bits of the film, I feel like, quite quickly. It's a ponderous 70s paced film. You know, like how just films in the 70s just go on? They hadn't really mastered like snappy editing yet. And like, that's what this film has got. It's one of those, it doesn't have the thing of like the first film where it's like, we're going to do an hour on land and an hour at sea. It doesn't have that game of two halves thing. It's just kind of like, we're going somewhere and we're not really sure. And some scenes are just going to take a long time. And I don't know. I don't know why we needed 2 7-minute long scenes to introduce the teenagers twice back to back. Fuck it. Maybe we'll win the audience over with the photo developing bit. Eh?
Mate,
better set the shark on fire.
That's the Zwark ride, baby, because then what Zwark does is he makes quite an interesting thing happen off screen. We cut away. It is later that night, and apparently Brody has been fired for his antics on the beach and for rattling about the wacky photo. Didn't see it happen. Yeah. Probably would have been quite an interesting, intense exchange with the mayor. What a shame.
He goes out and gets shit-faced afterwards. That could have been quite interesting to watch.
We don't get to see that. We just see this really amazing pile of beer cans around his like police van.
Yeah.
And then he comes in. He's really drunk, and he seems fine.
Yeah, he's like, not my problem. Someone else's bad fish.
Bad fish.
Yeah.
Bad fish. And he like gives his badge to like his best mate, and he's like, you're the chief now. And the mate is like, I just want you to know that you're the best man I've ever known. And he's like, yeah,
kiss him.
And he's like, no, but I love you. It's really intense. He's got some good friends. His wife puts him to bed in all his clothes.
Yeah.
He wakes up. He's so hungover that he doesn't even notice his children are missing.
Yeah, I think they have a maid or something that comes in. And he thinks that his eldest son is out doing his summer job, whereas his eldest son has gone out on those boats that he's forbidden to go on because Brody's like, don't go on the boats, bad fish. And the youngest son has gone with him. And it's just amazing that like the maid comes in and goes like, oh, where's the youngest son? And the mum's like, don't know, probably out playing. Haven't seen him. Haven't seen him this morning. I can't imagine getting to the point where, like, you know, like my daughter is, you know, when she's like 6 years old and I wake up in the morning and she's not in the house and I'm just kind of like, eh, probably fine. She's probably out. Like, what the fuck?
You say that now, Tom. Wait, in 6 years, the novelty will have worn off.
70s parenting, I guess. Yeah. And there's a point around here where we get to see Jaws the shark, that we realise that he's not dead, that he kind of boos, goes boo, to some scuba divers, and he pops out and goes boo, and this is a bit where we see the reveal that he's got the Kruger face, and we're just like, fuck yeah.
Does he have like a razor claw glove on his fin?
He's got a few like really long, extra long teeth or something like that. He's got a little hat. excellent. They really kind of goof up this scene where like there's about 10 scuba divers and Jaws comes out and goes boo at one of them and he comes up out of the water. He gets bonked a little bit, comes out of the water too quickly and they go like, oh, he's come out of the water too quickly. He doesn't go shark, shark, shark because he kind of almost gets the bends, by coming up too quickly. And it's like there's all these other scuba divers that Jaws the shark could have eaten and for some reason he just doesn't.
He goes instead for the more tantalizing kids on a date.
Ah, oh, kids on a date.
Much more delicious to Jaws the shark.
Oh, yeah. So these are the kids that can continuously like hooking up throughout the film. This is quite good.
They've got their little sex dinghy.
Yeah.
And they...
That's how you know you're doing it right.
Yeah. And they're trying to bone down on the sex dinghy. There's nobody around. And the girlfriend, who is also Miss Amity Island, she's like, oh, you got to lay a blanket down. Because last time I got loads of bruises on my ass and my mum had loads of questions about them.
I have loads of questions from that.
That just raises further questions. Yeah. But okay, so, you know, while he's getting the blanket out, suddenly, Fishy Krueger is in town and he knocks him out the boat and then, like, drags him backwards through the water and slams his face up against the side of the sex
thingy.
That's
brutal.
This is good. This is, like, all sort of real slasher stuff.
Yeah, and then he's hanging on the boat and he's kind of, like, looks up at his girlfriend and then just goes... down under the water. Brown bread.
That's good, yeah. And then she's left in shock. She kind of curls up under the little sex blanket.
Yeah.
And Brody rocks up, like, with his mate.
So he kind of knows that, like, oh, there's stuff, there's bad fish. There's bad fish about.
Bad fish.
He knows that the kids have all gone out to the lighthouse and that his son's gone out. And he's like, oh, we've got to go out and get him. And he goes out on the boat with his wife and his mate, who's, like, the new sheriff. And he leaves them on the dinghy, and he's like, right, I'm going to go and save the kids. Which way is the lighthouse? And then, like, the new sheriff, who actually knows about boats in the sea, is like, oh, it's over, you know.
Gives him the coordinates.
Yeah, the coordinates. Oh, it's 30 knots that way to the starboard bow. And he's like, shut the fuck up and just points.
Don't give me that shit. There's a recurring thing throughout this of just, like, Brody becoming more and more drunk and more of just a belligerent, like, asshole. Every time somebody who is knowledgeable about a thing tries to, like, actually help him and explain any kind of detail, he's just like, nope, I do not have time for this. Like, the really helpful photographer guy who's, like, developing those photos very slowly is like, oh, it's an interesting type of camera, this, because of the... And he's just like, you shut the fuck up about that camera. Unless it's going to help me murder the sea, I do not care.
Exactly. So he's like... We then get this amazing bit where, like, all the kids are out on their catamarans, waiting for Jaws the shark to come and eat them. Well, Brody is basically lost at sea, like this, like, drunk, sunburnt old man. Like, he has no idea where he's going. He has no idea really how to use the boat. And it's just... I quite like this. Like,
he doesn't even look that worried. He's just like, oh, I'll save the day. I'll show those.
He's just kind of confused more than anything, isn't he?
Yeah. I'll show those egg-headed experts. Yeah, I know how to do it. But you push that button. Oh, the back's fallen off. Oh, it doesn't matter. It's this switch. Oh, no, that turned the microwave on. Oh, so just we'll go that way. If I just shout at the boat enough, it'll go in that direction.
Yeah. So he's lost at sea while, like, all the kids are getting fucked up by Jaws the shark, who just keeps on coming back and murdering their catamarans a bit more.
Like, let me tell you guys, I don't know a lot about boats, but what I've learned from this film is that catamarans are not good boats. They are trampolines that float.
Yeah.
Like, they will not stand up to even the remotest bit of, like, knocking. And this is super interesting because, like, A, this is a bit where you really get to see the shark a lot and all of his scary glory. None of this, like, fucking around like Spielbergo in the first film, trying to keep him hidden because he looks so crap. In this one, he's all scarred up. You see his full body. He looks amazing.
Yeah.
And he, like, swings past the catamarans. And all the kids are like, holy fucking shit, is that Fishy Krueger? And then they just crash their catamarans into each other. The shark did nothing.
Oh, yeah, they all panic and they all destroy or capsize their own boats. The shark just sits back and goes, huh. Cool.
Because they're basically just napkins floating on corks, these things. They just all fall through and they're like, we're fucked. Why did we ever think this would be a good idea?
I don't know if... Do any of them die?
No. the body count is pretty fucking low. And this is what's disappointing, because they introduced so many characters. So at the start, I was like, you know, that means there's going to be a good body count.
And they're all so contemptible, you know? Like,
even the incels live.
Yeah. But, oh boy, oh boy. What happened earlier is that Brody called, after being fired as chief of police, no one was told. So he just calls in a chopper and is like, hey, Chopper Dan, can you go and find the kids? They're floating around on some catamarans, might be a big bad fish. And then Chopper Dan shows up with his chopper and he's like, hey kids, it's all right, I'm going to tow you in. And me and Todd is like, oh my God, if this shark does not jump up and eat that guy, I'm going to be pissed as all fuck. And he's there talking on the side, he's hanging off the side of the chopper, he's talking to his big megaphone, and then he gets in the helicopter and you're like, fuck, that guy had to die. And then the shark comes out and basically eats the helicopter. It like drags the helicopter into the water. It's so good.
This bit is so
kills a helicopter.
Me and Tom were watching this and we were, you know, doing what you do when you watch films like this. We were making slightly snarky comments to each other, being dicks. And I was basically narrating what I thought would be a funny way for the scene to play out. And then I think I might have magic powers because everything that I said happened. I was like, oh, wouldn't it be just like really stupid if he's like trying to lift his helicopter up and he's like, seems to be a bit stuck, something weighing me down. And then he looks down and then the shark is biting the bottom of the helicopter. And that is exactly how that shit went down, son.
And the best bit, like, the kind of like the capper of like how ridiculous it is that like the shark pulls the helicopter down while the blades are spinning. It kind of like the blades hit the water, the blades shatter, bits of fucking helicopter blade then just like destroy the masts of all the catamarans. So it's like, well, they are fucked. They can't get anywhere. Can't believe that one of them didn't slice a child in half. But like, oh, it was beautiful. Like the kids are just sat there just kind of like, with their boats just more fucked, and there used to be a helicopter there and now it is nowhere to be seen. The whole thing has gone underground.
No
underwater.
Wreckage. No, mate, I don't think it's gone underwater. I think Jaws the shark ate it.
Fantastic.
Swallowed it whole.
And now they're just, and then just, it seems to go on for quite a long time, this bit, where the kids are just floating around on these like absolutely decimated catamarans, while Brody still has no idea how to find them or how to get his boat turned around. Oh, a kid does die.
Which
this
one
is
dies?
Pretty good. Brody's youngest son and another kid fall off one of the catamarans. They get separated. They try and get onto like another upturned boat.
Yeah.
And Brody's son gets on, and then there's like another kid behind him who's kind of like, no. And then Jaws the shark fucking gobbles him up.
Oh yeah.
Because then Brody's son has like got fucking like, he's like in the trenches. He's like completely shell shocked.
Yeah. And there's this super slightly weird bit where we're suddenly that guy that's Moose, basically, who just sort of is like a bit of a jokey, like meathead jock. Yeah. He suddenly becomes like the warm heart, the moral center of the film, because he's the one that has to get like the little Brody's son to like be brave and come back and tie this rope and do all this thing so they can rescue him. And then he just like holds him and kisses him and tells him that everything's going to be all right. And it's just like, well, this character has like achieved an incredible amount of personal growth very quickly for no reason.
Yeah. And it's really weird because obviously, out on these boats, Brody's eldest son was also out on the boats, but they, for some reason earlier on, he gets knocked out and like is completely unconscious for like the majority of the rest of the film, is on a different boat that is away from all the catamarans, so he's completely fine. Like, he sees Brody later and he's like, I'm sorry, I got knocked unconscious, and my younger brother is out with the bad fish. And it's like, would it have been more powerful for it to have been the brother bringing in his, getting through to his younger brother, like, rather than his brother's mate, who's like, what?
Odd choices. Really, really. The only thing I can think of is that somebody just really early on was like, guys, I've got a gig on Jaws 2, and you know what? All of my mates, you can all be in it.
Yeah. The thing is, the other weird thing I think that Moose gets through to Brody Jr. by basically, he's like, come on, man, come on, you gotta turn around, if you don't turn around, I'm gonna bust your ass in half. And then he turns around and is like, well, okay then, I guess. It's like,
That's the way to get through to kids these days, Tom. You've got to threaten violence. This is a lesson you need to learn.
So then this all brings Brody eventually finds the wacky old Grandpa Brody. Eventually, hey kids, I got the boat to work. Finds them.
He immediately crashes his boat into an island before he can even touch any of the kids. And he's like, oh no.
Yeah, there's some weird tiny like paper mache island in the middle of the sea that they're all kind of like, hey, conveniently we're getting towards this island. This is great. We can be safe here. We can get onto dry land. And then the boat just like gets stuck just a little bit away. And yeah, like Brody crashes his boat into the fucking island.
Mwah, mwah.
And then he's fucking around with a dinghy and a rope and the anchor. And he accidentally pulls up Chekhov's humongous power line.
Yes, this is amazing. So it's all covered in like barnacles and seaweed. It's like quite a big, thick, sort of plastic covered ropey wire thing that runs the power under the water. And he's trying to get the shark, jaws the shark, to bite it, right? That's probably a good idea. And the way he does this is he just gets out this wooden paddle and just spanks it. And he just keeps for ages just spanking this big rubber paddle.
And he kind of shimmies down it. Like he's kind of like, it does not look cool or sexy.
It's like it was choreographed by Joe Pesci in Home Alone.
Yes, yes, it's like that, yeah.
And then eventually, yeah, he gets Jaws the shark to bite it. And then
he said, as Jaws the shark comes to bite it, he, like, you know, like in the last film, he had that really snappy catchphrase, smile, you son of a. In this one, he says, say ah, which is, I mean, the zingers for Brody are 5 out of 10.
But I tell you what's a fucking million out of 10.
Oh, yeah.
It's what happens when the shark bites the electric cable.
So good.
Oh, it's like completely bursts into flames. Smoke comes out of its eyeball. The eye doesn't fall out, but just smoke like pours around the socket. And there's like drawn on cartoon lightning bolts.
Yeah.
And like, luckily at this point, nobody else is in the sea at all, because every single fish in the ocean is dead at this point.
Yeah.
You can only assume. It's just like, it's just away.
Turns into an inferno of fire. It's
good.
So it's basically like, you know, like what was cool, the shark blowing up at the end of the last one's like, yeah, cool, but could we do that but make it last like 2 minutes? And it's like, set it on fire. It's in the middle of the sea. Don't matter. Doesn't matter. And then like they all go like, hey, well, the shark is dead. Roll credits.
Yeah. Once again, there's a very, very abrupt ending. I don't really understand why these films never really do wrapping up. It's just like the shark is dead. Brody goes, all right, kids, get in my tiny dinghy. And roll credits.
Like, yeah.
That is it.
So, I mean, okay, well, how would you have finished Jaws 2? What would you have tacked onto the end of that that would have given it that bit of...
Well, I just feel like scriptwriters nowadays would have, like, there'd be a bit where you'd want to see the kids reunited with their mum. Right. Yeah. We know that the mum is worried about them on the shore. We know that the mayor and like the mum's boss.
Oh, they need some comeuppance.
They need some comeuppance because they were like, there is no shark. Oh, whoops, there's a shark.
Brody needs to sock him in the face. They'd be like, Brody, you got your job back. And then he punches him in the face.
Yeah, here's what I think of your stinking job. And then his mate, who is the chief, is like, only one chief I know of. And he like rips the badge off his chest, throws it at Brody's feet. He looks down, you know, and he's like, you son of a gun.
And then they kiss, and it's...
And then they're like, all right, everyone out for dinner on me, says the mayor. And they go like, anything but shark fin soup.
And then we pan over to a like scenic shot of the sea, and what do we see? Shark fin. Teasing for that third one.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
That would be quite satisfying.
Yeah. Yeah, the mayor does. Where's the comeuppance?
Well, maybe in the next movie.
Mm.
So, can I just check, Tom, have you seen a little film called Jaws the Shark 3?
Jaws the Shark 3D?
Hey,
I have seen some of it.
Oh, you have? Okay. Have you seen it in 3D?
No.
Because we're going to try and watch it in 3D if we can, because I've got the Blu-ray of this, which does on the front of it say, in 3D. But it doesn't come with any 3D glasses. Well,
we could watch it, I guess, a bit like how I think I watched it on TV, bits of it on TV, and you can tell the shots that are in 3D because it was old school 3D, like, you know, like the red and green out of phase. And they'd kind of like un-3D'd it, but everything kind of like really still jumps off. It's like watching Friday the 13th Part 3, Freddy Goes to Hell. You know, like the bits that are 3D, you kind of go like, oh, that's a 3D bit.
Well, I've so got we'll, 3D we'll glasses in the house, so I'm thinking maybe this time, if there is an option on the Blu-ray to watch the real 3D, we should probably be able to crack them out.
I'm looking forward to that. I've got to say, like, I enjoyed Jaws the Shark 2. All the bits of Jaws the Shark were fucking brutal. He killed a helicopter, he got shot in the face and caught fire, and then he basically, like, turned into a fireball at the very end.
What are they going to have to do? What bigger thing can he kill than a helicopter next time?
Like mech suit robot or something like that?
The only thing I can think of is if he eats like an entire house.
Yeah, or like...
on land.
Yeah, or something happens like where like Quint comes back from the dead, but he's kind of like a cyborg or something like that. And he's got like a exploding robotic fist. I don't know, I'm spitballing ideas here. I mean, that would look dynamic in 3D. You know, big fist coming at the screen.
There's going to be some decent harpoon action, isn't there?
Hope so. So tune in next time to see how Jaws 3D goes.
Yeah, and if you've enjoyed listening to the podcast so far, and you're sticking with us through this slightly out of practice new season, thank you very much. Please don't hesitate to drop us a line on Twitter at BitterEndPod or on Facebook at BitterEndPod.
Well, yeah, until next time, I'm Tom Denny.
I'm Todd Jordan.
And I know a shark. I've seen him.